Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, September 1st, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Getty's.
Happy to be here. Kinda Funny Games Daily, live on YouTube, my first one. Very exciting stuff.
How does it feel? Are you excited?
It feels really good.
How are you feeling, Mr. COVID?
Yes. I'm feeling significantly better than I was. You know, good. I would say I have that feeling right now where I want to say I'm at 100% because I feel that way compared to where I was.
Sure.
But I'm not. You know, I still like I'm realizing there is the brain fog stuff people talked about. That's real. You know, this cough, not fun at all. No. I am really fatigued, really tired, more than normal. So all that stuff sucks. But I will say definitely through the worst of it. The last weekend sucked. The last couple of days had moments here and there. But I'm happy to be back on content. It's been hard for me seeing you guys talk about all these cool things popping up, all the news, all the cool stuff. I'm on a lot of stuff today. So I'm excited for that. Going to get back into the
swing. Oh, you mean you're on a lot of shows. Okay, I thought you meant you're like on a lot of drugs. Like, you know,
No. Sudafed, I'm on a lot of shows.
And Advil. No.
I'm on a ton of shows today. Because so far this week, I've only been on Game of Thrones in screencast on Monday.
Wow, look at you.
And then now today I'm on She-Hulk screencast that's live now. You can go check that out. I'm on this right now. I got Rocky Balboa in review later. Living my best life.
This is the content life. Here's what I need to know. Of course, I had a complicated schedule this morning and today, so I didn't get to watch She-Hulk ahead of time. Because She-Hulk debuted during the vacation. I've actually enjoyed being what I think people refer to as a normal person, which means Jen and I watch it Thursday evening after dinner with a bowl of popcorn, like a real thing. Not that I have to wake up and fucking watch it while I'm brushing my teeth or whatever so I can talk about it on the show. How was this episode? Yes or no? Yay or nay? We good or bad?
Oh, I'm all in on She-Hulk.
This episode was a good one? Is it a banger?
I personally was very, very much into this episode.
Okay, cool. I'm excited to see it. Michael Jacobs in the chat before we went live here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames screamed, "I woke up ready to bop. Let's go." And that's the energy I'm going to need from you to chat. All right. Because today we're talking about Xbox reconfirming Call of Duty is coming to PlayStation 5 and Game Pass. Halo has some good and bad news. And you might be getting a Zelda blowout this month.
Blow me out, Zelda.
When I had it in there, I was like, there's got to be somewhere I want to go with that. And I was like, you know what? I'll keep it vanilla. I'm glad you were there to take it to the blow me out Zelda. Mm-hmm. We'll have all this and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the exclusive post-show we do each and every week. And, of course, you get these bevy of benefits for things like PS I Love You XOXO, the XCast, the GamesCast, and everything under the video game sun. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Of course, you can get the show for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where, guess what? We are live streaming it right now, our week-long experimentation project. We are in college and we're experimenting, ladies and gentlemen, where we are streaming live to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is continuing. Of course, we're usually on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We'll talk about that later. For now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames on demand, roosterteeth.com on demand, podcast services around the globe on demand. Some housekeeping for you, of course. First off, use our Epic Creator Code. Kind of funny. If you are buying something on the Epic Game Store, if you're playing Fortnite, if you're playing my favorite game of the moment, Rumbleverse, put in the creator code kind of funny on whatever platform you're using, and we'll get a few bucks when you buy stuff, and that's great. Also, as I mentioned, PS I Love You XOXO. I'm wearing the shirt right now. If you're an audio listener, kindoffunny.com/store, and you can see the shirt. Look at me. This is good. I got some moves right now. I feel like a snake. You know, I'm coming out of the basket. However. PS I Love You XOXO has a brand new episode right now. You should go get it because it's The Last of Us Part 1 versus The Last of Us Part 2. We have a scientific rubric to judge
there
these games.
There can only be one.
We're judging these games against themselves to see who will actually be the winner. We come down to a conclusive answer. Will it make Blessing cry? No, but maybe we can one day. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Fargo Brady. Today, we're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Chime, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Now, Tim, we're going to start in the land of the Xbox, all right?
Yes.
Number one, we have the one, the only, Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, reconfirming Call of Duty coming to PlayStation and talking about Activision Blizzard games on Game Pass. That is the old headline you're going to see around the internet today. Those are the tweets you're going to see around the internet today. It's coming from a blog, a Microsoft blog titled Gaming for Everyone Everywhere, Our View on the Activision Blizzard Acquisition. Tim, as you know, there's nothing I respect more than our listeners slash viewers' time. So I usually go through, distill things down, cut it up, do this or whatever. I'm going to read the entirety of the blog here.
Wow.
I know it's a crazy one. But it's Phil talking, and as I was telling Barrett beforehand, it's the most direct I feel they've ever been on the answers to, is it coming to PlayStation? What about Game Pass and stuff like that? But beyond that, because I've already given you the news in the headline, it's the framing of why Activision Blizzard matters to Phil. So you might say this, if I was just to jump into it, I feel he'd be like, this man does not respect my time anymore. But ma'am, sir, person, I do respect your time, and I want you to know that.
They don't call you Greg Context Miller for nothing.
I don't think they really call me that. Here we go.
After this, they will.
Fair enough.
Just believe.
Here we go. Phil Spencer, everybody. Game developers around the world are creating innovative and groundbreaking games. We think that we can do more to bring those experiences to the billions of players everywhere. Our announcement in January that we intend to acquire Activision Blizzard was an important milestone in our journey to do so. Since then, regulators, game developers, and players have been asking what the acquisition means for the industry and, most importantly, for players. While we love consoles, we recognize that they are not the only way that people play games. Today, the largest and fastest growing segment of gaming is mobile platforms. To reach the billions of players where they are, and no matter what device they play on, we need to embrace choice. Giving players choice in how they play their games makes gaming more accessible and leads to larger, more vibrant communities of players. Choice is equally important to developers. Developers benefit from having a diversity of distribution and business models for their games. Choice unlocks opportunities for innovation and enables the industry to grow. We are expanding choice in two ways. Through the creation of Game Pass, which gives players a subscription option, and by bringing more games to mobile platforms, including through our cloud gaming streaming technology. Subscription services like Game Pass make gaming more affordable and help players from all over the world find their next favorite game. Game Pass empowers developers to bring more games to more players, not fewer. We intend to make Activision Blizzard's much-loved library of games, including Overwatch, Diablo, and Call of Duty, available in Game Pass and to grow those gaming communities. By delivering even more value to players, we hope to continue growing Game Pass, extending its appeal to mobile phones and any connected device. Bringing more games to mobile platforms, however, requires new capabilities. The expertise and teams at Activision Blizzard bring... expertise that the teams at Activision Blizzard bring in developing games for mobile platforms will help us understand how to create games and engage players around the world. In addition, we hope that players will be eager to play traditional console games from Activision Blizzard on other platforms via our cloud gaming streaming technology. This promises to open up mobile gaming, creating new distribution opportunities for game developers outside of the mobile app stores while delivering compelling and immersive experiences for players by using the power of the cloud. And we can extend the joy of playing to devices that people already own, including smart TVs and laptops. Honestly, I probably could have cut that last sentence, but I'm nitpicking there. In doing so, we will pursue a principled path. We've heard that this deal might take franchises like Call of Duty away from places where people currently play them. That's why, as we've said before, we are committed to making the same version of Call of Duty available on PlayStation on the same day the game launches elsewhere. We will continue to enable people to play with each other across platforms and across devices. We know players benefit from this approach because we've done it with Minecraft, which continues to be available on multiple platforms and has expanded to even more since Mojang joined Microsoft in 2014. As we extend our gaming storefront across new devices and platforms, we will make sure that we do so in a manner that protects the abilities of developers to choose how to distribute their games. We will continue to engage with regulators with a spirit of transparency and openness as they review this acquisition. We respect and welcome the hard questions that are being asked. The gaming industry today is robust and dynamic. Industry leaders, including Tencent and Sony, continue to expand their deep and extensive library of games, as well as other entertainment brands and franchises, which are enjoyed by players everywhere. We believe that a thorough review will show that a combination of Microsoft and Activision Blizzard will benefit the industry and players. For all the players and game developers out there, you remain at the center of everything we do, and we will continue to listen to your feedback and do everything we can to nurture this industry we all love. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked where you went, ah, because there's a lot here for us as fans, and then a lot to read between the lines on. Where do you want to start?
I mean, there's a couple things that I wanted, that I highlighted on the doc here that I wanted to get into, just to start off. Where you were saying that you would almost would have cut the line, we extend the joy of playing to devices that people already own, including smart TVs and laptops. I am happy you didn't cut that, because I think that that's important context to this whole thing of, again, how Xbox kind of sees their place in the industry and expanding the industry, and in a lot of ways, redefining what the industry can be, where it is no longer, and it hasn't been for a while, just a video game console, but it can also just be so much more than that, and it's wherever you can play video games, and they want that to be in as many damn places as possible. I think this entire statement from Phil is the biggest thesis statement of where Xbox is at thus far that we've had. We've gotten bits and pieces of this in a ton of different interviews, and as more and more, he even starts this off saying that there's been the legal side talking to him, there's been developers talking to him, there's been players talking to him. So we've getting the quote here, quote here, quote there. I like that this is like, here's all the quotes in one place. Here's me trying my best at this moment in time, September 1st, 2022, what I can say, what I know we can stand and believe in, where Xbox is at currently when it comes to regarding all the Activision deals, because they can't talk about a lot of the parts of it legally at this point.
And the big, you know, you bring it up of like putting it all here. That's one of the reasons we're doing the story and leading with this story. I think the Game Pass thing is a nice confirmation. We've all assumed that would happen. It's been hemmed and hawed on, but the PlayStation thing as well, where as Phil said, as Xbox and Phil say in this thing, right? As we've said before, however, since they've said that, there was then the thing of, wait, is there only a 3-year deal and this is what it would be, and yada, yada, blah, 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 and back and forth, where there has been so much, not misspeak, but so much misinformation, so much opinions being interpreted, and then other contracts and stuff like this. To bring it all together and give this here is this is the most clear Xbox and Phil have ever been about this, let alone why they're doing it, whatever. However, there is the undercurrent of, we've seen the regulators and this, but the regulators getting called out, right? Which has been in the news lately a lot, as Sony has been filing things with regulators about this going on. And then of course being reviewed in other countries. And then even the ending here, right? Where they're like, again, all this great stuff. Don't worry. Game Pass for you. That'll be great. It'll be on PlayStation 5. As we continue to engage with regulators in a spirit of we respect and welcome the hard questions. The gaming industry today is robust enough. Industry leaders, including Tencent and Sony, continue. It's very much being like a, we understand you're looking at this deal and you think this could be a monopoly, but also look the fuck over here at what Tencent and Sony are doing. Like, yeah. This is a very, you can see why this missive was launched today.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that this is the most clear and ironically concise version of a lot of the statements that have been made before. And when you put all these statements together into this one thing, it does create a picture that doesn't paint them as evil as the whole situation can be when you're just kind of taking it piecemeal, right? Yeah. And I think there's a lot of interesting things to take from this, right? Like another thing I bolded here is, we know players benefit from this approach because we've done it with Minecraft. We've talked about this a lot, that it is not an unprecedented thing that Xbox owned properties after an acquisition remain on other consoles, right? Which is a rarity. We don't see that often, but it has happened with one of, and at the time, the biggest game in the world, right? Minecraft is a pre-Fortnite situation. It was the Fortnite before Fortnite. And it's to this day still being everywhere, but being owned by Xbox shows that, yes, there is a way that this can work. Now, applying that to Call of Duty is a totally different ballgame, but the same principles apply. So them kind of legitimately saying Minecraft and saying we've done it before in relation to how Call of Duty is going to work, I think is the most clear Phil's been so far, despite having been very clear already about how this is going to work as of this moment. Now, I do think the realities are anytime we get one of these, the big wigs at any of the big game companies saying statements, those statements are only representative of the moment that they are
said. Moment in time. The moment in fucking time.
The amount of times things are said of like, oh, we believe in generations or this or this or this. It's like you got to give up on the old stuff because at some point it's outdated and it just does not apply anymore. But it did apply at the time to their thinking. And you need to kind of look at it and see how those statements actually shook out. How once they did get on the other end, was it lip service? Were they just telling us things to like get us somewhere? Or did their decisions back up what they said in hindsight, right? And those are the kind of things where I'm like, you look at that and you're like, okay, you can trust what's being said here or not, depending on who the person is, what they said, et cetera, et cetera. I also think it's extremely, extremely interesting. They say industry leaders, including Tencent and Sony, just the simple ordering of those, right? Like not putting Sony first. Like I'm not saying it in some weird fanboy war between the consoles. I'm saying it more in the sense of, damn, Tencent. Like that is how Xbox is looking at the video game industry, is that an industry leader, first top of mind, Tencent, right?
Yeah.
That is... Yeah, yeah. Such a dramatic shift from how we used to look at video games. When if you were talking about industry leaders, you're talking about the big three. Now all of a sudden there is this X factor that is not new. It's been here for a while and it is there because they've been gobbling up and acquiring everything. So
sometimes quietly, sometimes very vocally.
And because of that, they are now the first top of mind industry leader in this conversation. And
in this conversation, yeah. Because again, Phil's trying to, and Xbox are trying to make this point of like, what we're doing isn't even nearly as big as what Tencent's been doing. So why are we getting our balls busted?
Yeah, I just think that context to all of this, I think is a very, very telling place of the argument he's trying to make and the vision that they have and that they've continued to stand by for how they see Xbox in the industry going forward and what it means for the companies that they currently own and soon will own.
Yeah. It's a fascinating read. I don't think it's lip service. Like I do believe in doing so, we will pursue a principled path. I 100% believe that. Yes, that is what Phil thinks and what Phil wants to do with Xbox and where they want to go. But to your point, leadership changes over time. And, you know, also plans change. Like obviously if I'm not saying this would happen, but if Xbox got rocked and was on their heels and needed to do something and needed to make money, then yeah, they throw the exclusivity switch right on Call of Duty and try to switch that and make it go. And I'm talking years from now, and it, you know, another hypothesis to go.
They're going to 100. I personally, my money is on this is a timed thing once they get through the deals that they have, and that unless the gaming world dramatically shifts even more, which at this point literally anything can happen.
Sure.
And like if Game Pass ends up on PlayStation, right? Like that's a totally different ball game that we're talking about. But I do think that at a certain point, Call of Duty will not be released on PlayStation consoles. But
all right, here's what I'm gonna do then. I'm gonna stop you in your tracks with another question. Then are you saying the same thing for Minecraft? Or do you think now we're just in
I think while there are similarities, there are also very big differences, and the biggest difference is how the money is made and the revenue and the upfront cost of an annualized title that is a premium $70 release, right? That is the thing that just looking at how Xbox has put their strategy into play when it comes to Game Pass and their subscription service thing, they are tripling down, quadrupling down on this and bringing in the smart TVs and the laptops and all this. When you read the tea leaves of all of this, like they are trying to create an all digital, all subscription service where you are subscribing to Xbox. They don't give a shit where you're doing it, but that is the product that they are offering. And I think it's almost silly to talk about it now because I feel like people are just going to get up in arms and be like, but they said this and they said this. Then why would they leave the money on the table? All valid arguments and absolutely correct. I think that for the next 5 years, there is absolutely no worry about Call of Duty not being on PlayStation. I think that's year six and
PlayStation forward, 6 is when we get interesting, huh?
Totally. Like, absolutely. I would be shocked if we get there and we're not seeing a dramatically different landscape than we're at right now in terms of how these games are released. If physical games are even released, period.
I wish, but you know how people are. Y'all need your destroy all humans statue in boxed copy. Even though it's just a box, there's no copy anymore. In there.
We have enough.
Baron, we're going to get you more, Barrett. We're going to get you another one. Right, as you know, so as bad. I said at the top of the show, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing an experiment where we stream on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. That means I get the live chat over there. And I like to thank and welcome in people who are probably meeting us for the first time. In the chat, I saw it go through. Ushi no Nico said, hold up. Did Microsoft buy Activision Blizzard? Ushi, I'm going to need you to click subscribe on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and then click the notification bell. Because as somebody who hosts and pioneered a daily video game news show, it's upsetting that apparently this is your first time here. Now, granted, maybe you got kicked by a horse. You were in a coma. You just woke up and then you came here. I appreciate that. A lot of things have happened. That's Barrett. Barrett, introduce yourself to Ushi.
Hi, Ushi. My name's Barrett. I'm the peanut gallery here. Kind of funny.
How long have you been here, Barrett?
Almost 4 years.
And so now we're into this weird spot, Ushi, where I'm not sure when you got kicked by the horse. So if you already knew Barrett, Barrett's married since you last saw him. So that's a big deal. And he got a dog named Lulu, and she's very cute. I digress. Number two on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, it's more Xbox news. This is Halo Infinite has dated Forge. They've also dumped split-screen co-op, and people are pissed off. We go to IGN.com, where Ryan Lesnin writes and shows the roadmap, if you can bring that up for me, Barrett. Halo Infinite is finally getting Forge mode, launching on November 8th, 2022. And the full release of online campaign co-op will now arrive on the same day. Sadly, though, split-screen co-op has been canceled entirely. In a new update, developer 343 announced details of its winter update coming on November 8th, which comes with some long-awaited modes. Forge mode will allow Halo Infinite fans to essentially create their own content, building new maps with a sophisticated editor and sharing them along with the community. Arriving as a beta, we're still not totally sure on included details, parentheses, although a leak has looked impressive. 343 Industries is also launching two new multiplayer maps on November 8th, which will showcase exactly what Forge can do, as they were made entirely in Forge mode. The winter update also sees the full version of online campaign co-op finally roll out to all players, allowing you to team up with your buddies and tackle Halo Infinite's campaign together. Expect to find new achievements, cross-platform support, mission replay, and shared progression. After several delays and a beta, it's been a long time coming. However, there's bad news for fans of couch co-op. The local split-screen co-op mode has now been canceled. It's a blow to those who have been waiting since launch for the old-school feature, but it's seemingly a matter of priorities. Quote, in order to improve and accelerate ongoing live service development and to better address player feedback and quality of life updates, we have reallocated studio resources and are no longer working on local campaign split-screen co-op, said 343 Industries. Alongside these new additions, the winter update will include the Match XP beta, allowing players to level up alongside the 30-level battle pass. There's also a new game mode, Covert One Flag, which features asymmetrical loadouts and round-based gameplay, just to mix it up a bit. Tim, you are a big Halo fan.
Yes, I am.
Every Thanksgiving for Curran's birthday, you all get together and play Halo and nerd out. You play Smash 2, but Halo's there. Mm-hmm. You were excited for Infinite. You played Infinite at launch. You had a good time. Since then, it's been a rocky road for Halo Infinite.
It has, and it's so unfortunate. And, you know, we spent years, honestly, talking about Halo Infinite and what Halo Infinite needed to be. And I feel like the asks were large, right? There was a lot going into this. Like, there was multiple factors to bring into play. There's the idea that this is one of the biggest franchises in gaming history. One of the most beloved, and more than that, one of the most iconic to a console manufacturer titles that we've ever seen. And it launching with the new generation or around the new generation of Xbox, a lot of excitement after a couple of the more like less exciting entries in the franchise with Halo 5. I feel like at the end of the day, they didn't accomplish what they needed to do. And I feel like there was a lot of different metrics that you can compare that to. I mean, I feel like even just comparing it to the Xbox has Halo and PlayStation does God of War, we know how that went on the Sony side. And I think that when you look at the Xbox side, there's a very high quality game here in Halo Infinite. There's a lot of fun to be had. There is a lot of some of the best Halo moments I can imagine that I had in those couple months that I even played Infinite. But we have all, everyone, every single person that loved the old school Halo, that understood what made that stuff special, was like, oh man, it doesn't seem great that they're not launching with co-op. That is such an important thing to the people it's important to. It's not important to everybody, but to the people it is, they're like, oh, this seems like a miss, right? And it definitely was. And here we are still getting delays on this, still having all these things. And it's like, it's way too late for all that. But then there's this next level of needs, which is Forge Mode. Forge Mode is not something that is the oldest of old school Halo fans, that, you know, the boomers out there that I mean, obviously include myself in, that remember the LAN parties of Halo 1 and the Xbox Live days of Halo 2 and Halo 3. When Forge became a thing around there, it changed the game of what Halo could be. Halo was now a sandbox of fun. Halo did not need to end with what the developers were giving us. It was the community, and they gave some incredible, incredible game types and maps and just honestly endless fun when it came to Halo, which is a game that is simply fun to play. That is the perfect combination of things for a video game. So all of this now with how they're talking about it, it's like, oh man, we are just still kind of like struggling to get to that, like, oh, it has the things we expected it to have. And I think because of that, it puts Halo in a, at this point, unwinnable position.
You mentioned something in passing, not really relating to it, but you compared it to, you know, what people wanted out of Halo Infinite was the God of War moment, right? It was, hey, look at this return to form for an old franchise, right, that maybe wasn't getting so much shine as it used to. What's fascinating about this is that they're launching all this November 8th. November 9th is God of War Ragnarok. Like, don't get me wrong, there's two different platforms here. They are two different kinds of games. But it is this thing that I have to imagine, with the road we've had so far with Halo Infinite, I look at this, and as somebody who, you know, obviously I was, a month in, maybe even less than that, when Halo Infinite launched, and I had been, right? Like, I had my first son, so I was not playing, and I have no Halo juice and, you know, legacy with it. I still was like, oh, it's an, you know, open world, all the stuff. It's something I want to try. And then I was like, maybe I'll jump in with you guys. Co-op got delayed or whatever. I was like, oh, well, then I'll wait. Now for me, I'm like, oh, well, on November 8th, I'm not going to start Halo Infinite co-op when I'm going to be playing God of War Ragnarok the next day, or still working on the platinum from the review period or whatever. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think this is a badly timed decision to, even if this is great, even if Forge Mode is amazing, like, why go there and immediately get dwarfed in the news? You know what I mean? Like, why, like, is you're gonna, how much time do you have on IGN or for anybody? Everybody will be streaming the next day God of War Ragnarok. But maybe I'm just thinking too much about marketing.
It's complicated, because I do think, again, this is unwinnable position number 50 when it comes to Halo Infinite. But I almost feel like with these type of updates, nothing in this update is going to compete with God of War. And I don't even think that matters to them. Like,
here's my thing is that I think campaign co-op for Halo in this Forge thing they're talking about could not compete with God of War. Let me dial it back. Not compete with God of War, but it could grab headlines. It could grab Twitch streams. It could be something that you could see people getting invested in. I just think that this is a bad time to launch this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not ideal, but I almost think that when it comes to, like, Forge and this stuff, the launch isn't the most important part. It's the couple months after.
Sure, that's fair.
You know, so I feel like
day of everybody getting into it.
Yeah. And hey, you're talking never about, forget, right? November 9th, 2004, baby, Halo 2. I was there.
You lived it. Of course, you can write in to be part of the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can also tip and just give us money on YouTube, I guess, right? That's something you do, whatever. And shout out to MS7 Sanchez, who gave us $100 just to say lol, the future horse president. Okay.
You ain't wrong.
But anyways, Tyler from Vancouver, Canada, wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I need Snowbike Mike's hot takes on the Halo roadmap. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of the Kind of Funny X-Cast to Kind of Funny Games Daily. It's the one, the only, the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Oh, snap. I'm on the show to talk about Halo. Tim Geddes, let's talk about the hype or the lack that there is. Of course, Greg, you talk about God of War. I think the best thing to do is to release all of this lackluster content the day before God of War, so then everybody forgets about it the next day, and we never talk about Halo for another 6 months until they come out with another lackluster content update. But let's be for real here. Of course, we know that this dev team really cares about Halo, and they are trying really, really hard to figure this out, and they just cannot figure out or really get a good footing on the live service side of things. You talk about the God of War moment, and we did have that, right? We had killer gameplay on the multiplayer and single player side. We had a great campaign that players really did enjoy, right? But the issue was content, content, content. And when we look back right now, it has been a full year since release, and players that love Halo Infinite, like myself and many more, only received two maps, minimal content updates when it came to game modes, and a whole lot of microtransactions. And there were people that really tried hard to hold through this, but really it never clicked. It's not what we are used to in a Call live service game or just an old multiplayer game. If you look back to older Halos or Call of Duties, we used to get content map updates with 4 to 8 maps where sure you would buy them, but at least they were dropping throughout the year and the game didn't get stale after 12 months, which really, really is tough. But when I look at this, right, Halo co-op is a ton of fun. We got to play that myself and the XCast crew, and a number of best friends played that during that kind of beta period, and it is awesome. If you get the opportunity to jump in with you and 4 friends, that Halo Infinite campaign co-op experience with 4 people is a blast and a ton of fun. It works cross-play. It's awesome, right? It is sad to see split screen go, and I know a lot of Halo stands will get in the comments. They believe that split screen has to stay forever. Unfortunately, in this world, I haven't had someone on my couch, Greg Miller, in years. I haven't had someone want to sit there and split half of a 32-inch television with me in years. We've moved on past that, and it's probably best with a team that's already way behind the eight ball to drop a feature like that. And I know people are going to get upset, but you know what? That's just where we're at in 2022. We kind of got to move past that. On the flip side, yo, Greg Miller, Forge is lit. I've been keeping up with a lot of the Forge, we'll call it quote-unquote leaks, but really what the insiders have been doing creating a Forge play field or playground, and it's awesome. The things that people have created in Forge are truly, truly blown away and really, really something special. I think people are going to be wowed by the content and what the users from the community have created, and I think that will give a lot of play hours. But the downfall is a lot of people are going to jump in as the casual audience and look for what is Halo multiplayer, just the basic playlist and maps, and only having 2 new maps, 1 new kind of game mode that isn't really going to cater to them is not going to be a big thing that they want. And so, unfortunately, we're going to go a full year here without any wowing or reason to stick with Halo Infinite. I mean, we talked about it at the end. There was big 3 last year between Halo, Battlefield, and Call of Duty. They had the opportunity to seize the spotlight. They really didn't. Now you go up again. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is right around the corner. You have Battlefield, or you have Warzone 2 right around the corner. And this doesn't give any reason for me to want to play Halo more than those two when those drop in October and respectively, hopefully by the end of the year, which is really, really tough. So Forge, I'm excited for. Custom playlists I like. I love the idea of them finally looking right now at a Spartan career rank instead of just my battle pass, right? I want that number next to my name. I want to continue to gain match XP. I want to be able to build that up. That's something we've been talking about since the beginning. It's a lot. It's a lot to break down and look at, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more in depth on the Kinda Funny XCast, but there is some good, and then for most people, there's going to be a lot of bad coming out of this, which I think we all kind of expected here. This team is just behind the eight ball on the live service. They're really trying, but they haven't figured it out.
I have a question about the team, but before then, I do want to raise something that's been going through the chat that I just need. Legitimately, Greg is not doing a bit here. This is what the YouTube chat has brought up, and I would like to just present it to Mike, the master of hype, the expert in Halo. Michael, who had a better first year for post-game content? Halo Infinite or Avengers?
Avengers, Greg Miller, just for you.
Woo-hoo! I mean, throw up your builders, everybody, from the collector's edition. We did it. Can you believe that? We had Wakanda. We had multiple heroes. You're goddamn right we won this one, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been a good year, Greg.
It's the year two anniversary. 2 year anniversary of Avengers. You can go right now and log in and get a nameplate if you want on Avengers for free. It's free. Go get it.
It's been two maps, about four game modes, and a whole lot of microtransactions. I don't think anyone in their right mind can walk away going, man, Halo had a solid year, a great year, or even a good year. That is really, really disappointing, the year that we came off of, because they had so much momentum. You think of October, the pre-release of the multiplayer before the single player rights, and then we move into that, we go, incredible multiplayer, an awesome HCS, right? Everybody was gassed up, hundreds of thousands of people watching competitive Halo. People were going out of their minds. And then 3 months later, even the hardcore of hardcore, which is Andy Cortez playing by himself in his bedroom, eventually just dropped off and never played this again. And it's hard to look at this year and go, man, Microsoft's biggest IP, which was Halo, the flagship title, really didn't do what they needed to do this year. And that's sad to say, but it wasn't a good year at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's an XCast takeover. Welcome the best voice in the business, Paris Lilly.
So I literally ended a meeting. I was like, I got to go. I got to go do something because I had to be here just for this. So first off, Greg Miller, I have to say, we already recorded XCast, and I'm just kicking myself that we don't have our open platform.
We should have never moved to Tuesday, Miller. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Oh, shut up. It never works out. Here's what I want to say. All right. Here's what I'm going to say. I saw that tweet earlier, and my asshole clenched because I thought you recorded it. We're posting on Friday. This is the best case scenario. You recorded it, and it's live, and you're not late on the news. Now you're here on Games Daily, and you'll get to talk about it next week. Have a great day.
Now, I want to address something to Snowbike Mike, my fantastic host on XCast. What is something that I have been saying since 2020, all the way up until the launch in 2021? Halo Infinite cannot be okay. It has to be great. And I hate to say this, it's not even okay.
Ooh.
It's not. And that comes off of everything that you just said, Mike. It had such a great launch with the campaign. We were willing to say, all right, a few month delay for Forge and co-op is okay. Here we are now, 18 months later, however long it's been, I'm bad with math, but it's still not out. And we're going to get the Forge, we're going to get the co-op in November, great. But the fact that season 3 is not coming until March, you can't help but be disappointed in that. And I watched the video with Joe Staten. Obviously, we had Joe Staten on XCast and Brian Gerard, you know, in that video today. But I feel for them because clearly they're trying to do the right thing with the game. They're trying to do the right thing for the team. They're trying to do the right thing for the game and get it to an acceptable place. But the truth of the matter is this: Halo Infinite should still not be out. That's just the truth. It should not be out. Maybe you launch Halo Infinite in November of 2022 with Forge, with the co-op and these limited maps, and then you can get the next season in March. I think everybody would be okay with that. But the fact that you brought it out after a year delay, still in this much of an incomplete state, is disappointing to the community. Anyone that's complaining today is justified in complaining, because I think a lot of people have shown so much patience with this, and we're still not to where it should have been at launch, a year after launch and beyond. I mean, we're going to go 18 months beyond launch, and it's still not going to be to where it needs to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the man who hasn't had anybody on his couch for a long time and hasn't played Halo in a long time. It's Andy Cortez.
And what's up with this NVIDIA leak? Are we getting Bloodborne? What's happening with it, everybody?
Andy, don't derail the conversation.
Another big one, Paris, as well, as we look at it, right, as we start to hit the year marker, and then beyond that, right, no campaign DLC. Another big one here is, what are we doing with this campaign? Are we going to sit on this for 2 years now and not get anything? We've gotten so many of these narrative events in the multiplayer, which, yes, in some facet is cool, but really it is nothing compared to what we wanted with the, okay, bring us back the chief and the pilot and the crew, and what are we doing over there? Where is the campaign DLC? It's going to be 16 to 18 months before we even get close to that.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing about all of this. You see, the bones of Halo Infinite is good. It launched in a good state. We all agree on that. But this, and I'm doing air quotes, this being a live service game, you're not delivering the content to keep your community engaged. Now, I hope when Forge comes out in November and the community embraces this and some of these super talented designers out there create some crazy maps and modes and, you know, it's all curated and we're just loving it and this is all forgotten. But how much of the community is going to come back at this point? That's the biggest question.
Timmy. And with that for me, like just real quick, I don't want to go too long on this, but two new maps in this year since this game launched is just, it's unacceptable for how good this game is and how good this game plays and how many easy wins there are. And for us to be this far into it and now they're, okay, cool, we're getting two new maps. They're going to showcase what Forge can do. We know what that means. Like, they were made entirely in Forge mode. Cool. I'm sure they're going to be great maps, but it's like, give us maps that aren't made in Forge mode. Give us maps that are like made for the game first. Like, this kind of feels like in previous editions of this game, this is years in, or this is like after there's already been 18 maps, including old ones. Like, at least give us the easy wins. I know I'm a broken record about this, but where's Hang 'Em High? Right? Where is Lockout? Where is Blood Gulch? Where's Battle Creek? Like, just if you're not going to have new maps, at least have old maps. At least give the geezers like me a reason to want to pop back in and have fun with the gameplay that admittedly is fantastic. But
if I had to guess, and this is pure speculation on my part, again, when Joe Staples on XCast, he hinted at the legacy maps are coming back. I wonder if they're over, because he even talked about in the video today, they're doing some changes for the long-term health of the game, right? I'm wondering if things are being overhauled at the system level.
Yes.
And that's part of the problem right now, where the things that they want to integrate in, the game engine simply isn't capable of doing that right now. So they're overhauling that. So by the time we do get to March or whenever of next year, they're going to be able to start integrating these things in. But is that too little too late? That's the biggest problem.
The answer right is now. Yes. And we already know that. And that's the saddest part, right? Is that we're such clowns sitting here still asking, is it too little too late? And we all fucking know. You know what I mean? Like that. And that's the worst part, is we want this to be good. We want this to be the best that it can be. But like, it just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you're wrong. I truly hope you're wrong, Tim, because when I'm playing Halo Infinite, I have a freaking blast. It is a fun game. But there's just not enough there to keep me coming back. And that's been the whole thing that the community has been saying now for a year.
But Paris, like, I can't be wrong because I'm already right. And it's the same thing. I'm right there with you of what you said going into this. This game could not just be okay. Like, it's too little too late because we already lost that fight. Like, sure, at some point they might make Halo Infinite the game that we all wanted it to be. At that point, it's not going to be Halo Infinite anymore. It's going to be something completely different.
It'll be Avengers.
Yeah. we'll talk a lot more on the
kind of funny remember X-Gas, Avengers sure. Update 2.6 is launching this month. Now that we're in September, you're getting No Rest for the Wicked Warzone, a new villain focused adventure for all players. Then of course we're getting even deeper into that. You're going to get the next character is going to in fact be Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier. Don't forget the cloning lab. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the cloning lab that Fran played accidentally when it was accidentally published in 2 years ago is about to release as well. They're gonna have more information on that soon, so don't worry about
Well, we're getting two Forge maps in November. How about that?
Take that.
How about that?
See, that's the thing though, you don't understand. Avengers is such a great and detailed game that the clowns that play it could never make it. You know what I mean? We can never make it. And then you guys are over there. You guys are a Papa Murphy's and we're a Domino's, all right? I'm not the guy at Domino's making the pizza. I don't want this half-baked pizza I bring home. I cook.
He's incredible.
Papa Murphy's. Let's go.
Shout out. While we're talking about food, thank you, Paris and Mike. We're talking
about Paris, you rock. See you, homie.
All right, see
you. Shout out to MS7 Sanchez, who tipped us $50 and says, lol, just trying to support. This is Manny, the bagel boy Sanchez. MS7 is my soccer initials and number and Manny. And then he says, Max says, hi. If you remember, Manny, the bagel boy Sanchez, of course, supported us getting ready. And I tried to send Jason Trier over to his bagel place. I'm not sure if he ever went. And then he had a son. And then his son is Max. So hi, Manny and Max. These are the kind of relationships we build with you, our supporters, and mainly the people on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post-show we do. And of course, you can watch us record a whole bunch of podcasts live days, if not a day, before they go up anywhere else. However, right now we're talking about Kind of Funny Games Daily, and that means the main benefit would be getting it ad-free. But guess what, Jack? You're not listening on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking in your baggage at the airport without a lock. You don't know who's looking through all your stuff, finding all of your Nintendo Switches, your PlayStation Vitas, or all the other things that you're hiding in there. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers, ISPs, can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent. Nobody wants that. That sounds like a bad time for everybody. You can browse more anonymously. It's easy to use and it works on all devices. I love ExpressVPN. It is super simple to use. I feel safe across all of my devices, knowing that whether I'm on my desktop or my mobile phone, people aren't getting in there. I'm safe on the internet, and what I look at, what I browse, that's mine. That's for me to know. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny today. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Next up, shout out to Chime. Like a cool breeze, Chime is a refreshing way to handle your money. There's no monthly fees, no maintenance fees, and no minimum balance fees. So it's how banking should be done. And when you need access to your money, you can do so fee-free at more than 60,000 in-network ATMs at many locations like most Walgreens or 7-Elevens. You can also send money to anyone even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash-out fees for them. Chime, no monthly fees, no vibe-killing fees. Sign up for a Chime checking account. It only takes 2 minutes, and it doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by a debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees apply, except at MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at all Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Other fees such as third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Chime.com/KFGames.
Tim, I know this is your first live stream on YouTube for Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Yes, and it
we've talked about it. You know, this is the experiment. It's been the Wild West. We're figuring it all out. So Manny the Bagel Boy Sanchez just had tipped us and we read his comment. Now Spider Manny, who I think is a different Manny,
is
tipping us as well. It's like, as a Halo fan, I feel like I've been taken advantage of due to my love of this franchise.
It's the same Manny.
He got bit by a spider in between. Yeah. Now we're going to move on to number three on the Roper Report. This one's a super quick one. Assassin's Creed Mirage is now super real and super confirmed. Ubisoft put up the art you see there if you're watching, a little piece of key art, and then, of course, wrote with their tweet, Assassin's Creed Mirage is the next Assassin's Creed game. We can't wait to tell you more on September 10th at Ubisoft Forward, 9 p.m. CEST, 12 p.m. PT, hashtag Assassin's Creed. Tim, we'll be live reacting to it.
Yeah, starting there, actually, just to let everybody know, we will be live reacting. It's going to be a big old day of reactions over here on Kind of Funny with the D23 Marvel and Lucasfilm studio panels from 10 a.m. till noon. And then from noon after, we're going to be doing Ubisoft Forward. So that is Saturday, September 10th. Hang out with us all day. It's going to be an absolute blast. And thank God they're not overlapping with each other. So we'll be able to react to each one separately as opposed to at the exact same time. Like we had to do that one time with Game Awards.
Man, they didn't like that. People did not like that.
Classic content moment, though.
There we go. Sephiroth and Smash.
We've already talked about Mirage this week. We talked about Mirage when it was rumored before as well, too. Of course, this is the one that was going to be DLC for Valhalla. It has Bossum in it. I think I'm saying it right. And then now it got spun off into its own game. People are expecting it to be a smaller, more contained, more traditional Assassin's Creed. Rumors right now, we were talking about earlier this week, talking about no dialogue choices, none of the RPG stuff, just a straight up smaller Assassin's Creed.
I think it's kind of cool. We'll have to wait and see. Bless and I think specifically the last couple months have been talking a lot about Ubisoft and their place in the industry and how they kind of need a reboot, a refresh of like, what does it mean to be a Ubisoft game? For so long that it meant something. And then I feel like that something could be good or bad depending on the year that we had going. But I feel like for the last couple of years, that hasn't meant anything. To be a Ubisoft game doesn't mean what it used to, right?
So, well, what do you mean?
Anything. Like, anything. Like right now, it's like, what is a Ubisoft game in 2022 besides a disappointment?
I still think of Ubisoft as it is a giant open world checklist game. And I know that there are plenty of Ubisoft games that aren't that, but I still think that that's what it is. When I think of what Assassin's Creed became, the Far Cries, Wildlands, which I'm being a little fast and loose there, Ghost Recon, I guess I should say. That's what it's meant to me for a long time. And for a while, that was great, and I feel like everybody burned out on it.
Yeah, totally. I feel like with that, it's like that's what it meant. I would argue from like 2015 on, right? And like they kind of like created it. That's what a Ubisoft game is. But I think that so many of the towers and all those elements kind of just got adopted into games as a whole across the industry. And so it's like we still would say, oh, it's a Ubisoft game. It's a Ubisoft game. But I feel like the last time we really were talking about that was what? Like Watch Dogs Legion, something like that? Like us getting Assassin's Creed, and sure, there are still going to be like a couple of the franchise titles, but like I just feel like the identity of Ubisoft, like I have never been less hyped for a Ubisoft showcase coming up than I am right now. This thing is happening. Cool. It's like what are they going to do? What are they going to show?
And it just kind of feels like
they are at their most predictable than they've ever been, and that's saying something because they've been predictable in the past, but there was always like this room for at least there's a quality to Ubisoft. At least there's this thing. I feel like they've lost that now. And the Ubisoft conversation, like 9 out of 10 is like surrounding negative shit, whether it's the workplace stuff, whether it's the NFT decisions, like whether it's projects that we've heard about once and then haven't heard about for fucking years after. And it's like, are they really actually going to happen? If they do happen, do we give a shit? Are they going to happen just because they have to, like Skull and Bones? Like, it's sure, a Ubisoft game still exists in the way that we had known it the last decade, but I think that what it means to be a Ubisoft game today, any compliment that used to come with is gone.
Sure, that's fair. Yeah, I that's one of the reasons I am interested in Mirage. Like, you know, I loved Odyssey so much, then I thought Valhalla was just too much, too big, and I didn't care about Eivor, but I enjoyed the gameplay of it. So giving me an Assassin's Creed that I assume is going to be 20 hours, if not less even, I'd be down for that. I'm down for that. But again, we talked about that, so we'll find out soon enough. September 10th. That's a Saturday, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Number 4 in the Roper Report. You might be getting a Zelda blowout in September. You down for that? You want to get blown out, Woo! Tim?
More than anything, dude.
Ivan at VGC writes, a Nintendo Direct presentation focused on Zelda announcements will reportedly be held in September. That's according to GamesBeat managing editor Mike Minotti and some guy who's a giant bomb reporter named Jeff Grubb, never heard of him, who were speaking on a podcast this week. Quote, to be clear, guys, the one thing we are very, very sure is being announced at this Direct are the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess ports for Switch, Minotti said. Quote, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of Zelda stuff at this thing, Grubb said. I think this is like a Zelda blowout for Nintendo. They go on to say 100% there's a Nintendo Direct in September. It's that simple. Blah, 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 blah. Grub added Zelda stuff there. This is not a partner Direct, and those are the things that we've been hearing. The specifics that were name-dropped were Twilight Princess and Wind Waker HD ports to the Switch. And they go on a little bit, talk about a million stuff and other things. But this is Zelda blowout. Do it for you, Tim. Are you excited? Because I would really... Here's my... It's me. It's Greg. I love Wind Waker. I loved it at the time. I'm not one of these people who came around otherwise. This is exciting. I wanted more people's hands, yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to replay Wind Waker.
I mean, it'll
be there.
I feel like you're not going to at the end of the day. I know you're not going to.
I'm not
going to
play.
But,
I'm telling you,
but I do think, though, Greg, that you could. You would, and you'd enjoy it. Like, I think that it's one of those, if the timing were just right for Greg Miller in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you give this thing a shot, you're going to finish it. Like, I think it's that type
it's
of
a great
situation.
Game. I love this. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah, but I do think that, I mean, if you haven't played the HD version, like, it's awesome. The Wii U version that they put. And now,
the last third
if we
of
were
the
to
game
have
is
it,
way more streamlined. It's nice.
If we were to have it properly handheld and not having to do the weird shit you had to do with the Wii U.
Sure.
Remember? We knew people that used to do that to figure out a way to play the Wii U port of Wind Waker on a plane, plugging it in. Wild. But anyway,
we knew some straight psychopaths.
A young man named Jeff Grubbs Game Mass in the chat sent $20 just to call us turds, which I really do appreciate.
It's one of those things
where he's calling himself and Mike Minotti turds, because that seems more.
That does make sense. Okay, cool. I was going to talk about what a toxic fan base Jeff Grubbs Game Mass fans have, that's what they would come and do. And I guess that really reflects back on Giant Bomb, who will be getting a letter from me about how bad their fan base is. Maybe I'll go straight to their new owners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not that new anymore.
Yeah. So the thing about this is Zelda stuff aside, I feel like a lot of that is quote unquote expected. With Nintendo, can you ever expect anything besides everything? Like, that's just how this shit works. When it comes to a Nintendo Direct at this point in time, I could not be more excited. I think the PlayStation Showcase and a Nintendo Direct, the big proper big dogs, not partner things, not state of plays, not this or that, whatever the hell. It's like, no. This is the shit y'all been waiting for, is so overdue on both fronts, where we just need to know what's the next phase of PlayStation look like after God of War, and what the hell does Nintendo Switch look like right now. There is just so, we have answers in little tiny ways here and there. Obviously we have Pokemon coming in November and stuff, but what's next? What does 2023 look like? We know Breath of the Wild. Is this where we finally start seeing a lot more of it? Adds up, makes sense,
dude. That'd be awesome if it was a true Jeff Grubb TM Zelda blowout, right, where it just blows out your back end. If it was, hey, here are these, you know, remasters are coming to Switch, and then on top of that, here is your actual deep dive into Breath of the Wild 2. Let's go. Hell yeah.
Here's a title for Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, straight up. I think we get a title. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a date. I think that getting the ports of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are a slam dunk. I also think a Metroid Prime remaster of some sort is a slam dunk. We have been saying they're slam dunks for 5 years. So at some point, you got to dunk or get off the pot. You know what I'm talking about, Greg?
Are you talking about at the Zelda blowout? You think you'd also get the Metroid Prime thing? Because I got referenced in this very long podcast thing. Based on what he's heard about the Direct, Minotti said, everything outside of the Twilight Princess and Wind Waker announcements is speculation. Quote, the Metroid Prime things seem like it should be happening. It's a lot of remasters to announce in one thing. But maybe that will be a little bit of the theme here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it might not be a Zelda blowout. It might be a remake, or a remaster blowout.
I think it's going to be a Zelda. Well, I think it could be both, right? I feel like at the end of the day, it's splitting hairs on. I don't think they're actually going to theme it that way.
We got a blowout Direct coming up, everybody. Let's get blown out.
It's great. I mean, it's so exciting. I am very excited to be excited for Nintendo things again.
If it's a remaster blowout, Tim, do we finally get Galaxy 2? Or was it Galaxy? What was missing from the Mario thing? 2, right?
2. Mm-hmm. I will be very surprised if we ever actually get Galaxy 2. And that bums me the hell out. But wilder things have happened, man.
It's true.
A lot of action over here in the chat. Manny Sanchez tipped again. Another $50. Manny, you are owner of a small business in New York, and you have a wife and child. To stop doing this. He says, Spider-Manny is to Manny what shirtless Spider-Man is to Greg. Lol, nah, it's a different Manny. It's the Manny takeover. All right, good to know. And then Nerdmazing says, Rock Chalk Jayhawk Greg, to which if I had the ability, I would just refund the fucking money and tell you to Rock Chalk Chicken Hawk. But actually, I'll just put you in timeout. There, you've been timed out.
Damn. Jesus.
I ruled an iron fist. Here's the thing. Greg Miller and Kinda Funny can't be fucking bought. All right. You want to give us money and then say stupid, ignorant things about Kansas, like Kansas has the internet, like they got running water. They got electricity over there. You're going to get, I'll take your money and then I'll time you out. You know what I mean? You do it again. Nerd amazing.
Don't lie to people like about that, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sick of this campaign. That this is how Kansas gets people in. They send out people to where there are amenities and things that aren't just a giant crater. And then they're like, you know, tell them how great it is. Then you come in, clocked on the head. You wake up. What are you in? Potato sack. You're living in Kansas now. There you go.
Wow.
Number 5 and final on the road report, ladies and gentlemen. We have the top games on Steam Deck for August. This is a tweet that went up from Steam Deck or Steam. And it says, and just like that, August is over. Taking a quick look back, here are the top games on Steam Deck for the past month, sorted by total hours played. Top of the list, Vampire Survivors. Then Cult of the Lamb, Elden Ring, Spider-Man Remastered, Stardew Valley, No Man's Sky, Hades, Multiversus, The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim Special Edition, and Monster Hunter Rise.
I like this. I like that they're ranking it by hours played. That's a cool metric. And I also think this is an interesting list that is fun to look at, as there's the big-ass top-tier AAA PS5, Xbox series type games like Marvel Spider-Man and Elden Ring, but then there's also a lot of games that are right at home on the Switch, right? Like it being a handheld, it makes a lot of sense. That
Vampire Survivors, man, come on now.
Like Vampire Survivors, Stardew Valley, Hades, right? Like these are definitely like Switch type games. So it's cool that
Look out, Nintendo.
It shows that this Steam Deck can do both and do both well, and it is serving both audiences.
Sure is. I love my Steam Deck. Barrett, of course, is a deck boy with me.
Deck boys!
But yeah, I Vampire Survivors, I feel, is like a must-have if you have a Steam Deck. That's just got to be on there. It's on mine. Cult of the Lamb is where I reviewed it. Elden Ring I get, Spider-Man I get, all these games I get. Would love to see Rumbleverse on there, but of course, Epic Game Store, you know how it goes. Tim, I can't wait to see what's at the top of the Steam Deck charts for this month, September, but October, I have to think way too hard what comes after September. October 1st is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Breaking news. Mike Kurzer, who I believe is Big Kurz, says, Greg, I know old game is old, but you can cheese trophies for the Cowabunga collection using the watch and takeover play function all but two games.
Yo, Cowabunga collection, real quick, I just want to say, do you know about this feature he's talking about?
No.
Really, I mean, cool stuff.
It sounds pretty self-explanatory now, but yeah.
Like, it literally just lets the computer plays the game for you. So it's like you can let it play hard sections of the impossibly difficult NES Turtles, right?
Yeah.
I've been playing it the last couple of days, and I just like am having so much fun just seeing things that I've never seen. Seeing levels, seeing bosses. I'm like, whoa, there is more than just the opening three levels of this game? Rad.
Well, now you got my attention over there. Out today, Gerda, Flame in Winter is available on Switch and Steam. There's a launch discount of 10% for the first week. The award-winning Razer Kishi V2 is now available for iPhone. Onsen Master is out on PC, Xbox, and Switch. GTA Online has an update. The Declassy Vigero ZX muscle car makes its debut in GTA Online this week, available for purchase. Meanwhile, the Sprunk versus E. Cola showdown is heating up on a second week. Those on Team Sprunk can show their true colors with a free pair of green oversized shades.
And what are you saying? Vehicles.
If you play GTA Online, there's an updated content. That's what I'm saying. All right, is that what you want, Tim?
Ecoline.
It's not about freaking Kirby. You don't care. Chenzo Club launches today on Steam, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, all for $14.99. Ooblets is exiting early access on Switch, Xbox, and the Epic Game Store. Amber, if you're buying it on Epic Game Store, use the creator code. Kind of funny. Amber City is out today on Steam. Restless Soul, a comedic, ghostly adventure game from the video game publisher Graffiti Games, is now available on Switch and Steam for $14.99. And then Hell Pie will be out on Switch today. Andy Cortez, the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Treat, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping shreds, globetrotting, headshotting from Twitch.tv. Andy Cortez, you've joined. What's up?
Sorry, I got here a little bit late. You all were talking about Steam Deck earlier.
Yeah.
And I haven't played the What's on Deck theme song in about 2 months now. Like, do you want me to do it? Or
I'd love it. Yeah, if we could hit everybody, we have a theme song for this segment called What's on Deck. We're not going to do it, but we did talk about Steam Deck, so we could use it. Yeah, please.
We can maybe just edit all this.
We're not going to do that.
We're not live right now.
Sure.
All right, here we go. Do you know what's next? Here's What's on Deck.
Thank you so much, Andy. That was great. I appreciate
it. I love
you.
I thought Andy was going to come in and be like, oh, sorry, I want to talk about Halo.
New dates for you. King of Retail will leave early access on September 14th, 2022. Tim, we asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. Kebabs wrote in to correct Paris Lily. It has been 10 months since Halo Infinite launched. It will be a year old in 2 months in November. Thank you, Kebabs.
Fuck you. No, don't thank him for that. Don't thank him for that. You're unthanked, Kebabs.
Why? Paris had the wrong. He said he wasn't good at math, and he answered
it's
the question.
It's a turn of phrase. You know what we're saying here.
God damn, man. Okay. We asked people to squad up. This is where you can write in to be part of the show and then tell us where you want to squad up and play games together. I usually do all that stuff. It's a different one today. The one, the only, Radic. That's right, from CD Projekt Red. And CD Projekt has written in to invite you all to a party. He says, a cool opportunity for all Kind of Funny best friends who will be at PAX West this week. CD Projekt Red will be hosting a pre-premiere two-episode screening of its upcoming Cyberpunk Edge Runners anime series this Sunday in Seattle, Washington. It's a limited seating event, and all interested Kind of Funny best friends can get their tickets at cp2077.ly/Seattle, all lowercase. CP2077 for Cyberpunk 2077. You got that. .ly/Seattle. So if you're going to safe, if you're going, I'm sorry, I got thrown off here. In the chat, PJ Roro Noah says anime is whack. Well, come on now, hold on. What, anime ain't whack? They made a bunch of good ones. They got that Batman manga. Anyways, Radic, go hang out. Go hang out. Watch Cyberpunk Edge Runners in Seattle. CP2077.ly/Seattle if you want to go hang out. Tim?
Yeah.
That's it. We got another one in the bank. Wow. We're not done. Of course, you and I have a post show to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames that you can get later. Of course, you could go there to get your name right on the show. You could go there to get the show ad free. You could go there to watch us record things live like PS I Love You, XCast, all that jazz, and support us if you think we're doing a good job. However, if you are not joining us, no big deal. It will be Tim and Blessing tomorrow on Kind of Funny Games Daily, the final day of the youtube.com/kindoffunnygames live experiment for Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you want to right now keep watching something live because you're watching live, you can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames where Snowbike Mike and Andy will be playing Midnight Fight Express in Rumbleverse and having a great time. I'm very jealous that I won't be able to join them for Rumbleverse, a game I am obsessed with, but you know it. What I'll do later, since I'm going to miss it because I'm busy, is go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays where we put up all the archives from Twitch and have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna play Rumbleverse like me, use the creator code Kind of Funny. Even if you're here's the thing, you're like, I'm not, it's a free game, Greg, and I'm not gonna buy anything. Before you download it, just put in Kind of Funny on the creator code thing. I swear it helps us. Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, like I said, ad free post show we're gonna go do right now, all that jazz. Can't catch you live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames next week, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames today, tomorrow. Then of course you can get it on demand, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. You might say, you know what, I'm not gonna subscribe, I'm not gonna listen, I'm not gonna go like it on Spotify or any of those things. Then you would look like Ushi. Remember that guy Ushi, kicked in the head by a horse, wakes up, doesn't know that Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard, doesn't know that Barrett's married. Is that what you want in your life? Don't not be like me. Ushi.
Don't
be like OM Jesus. All right.
Yes. Yes. The goat.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.